Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for calling us together. We thank you for calling out to us in the scriptures, calling us to come in repentance and faith to Jesus Christ, calling us to worship and serve him. And we have assembled this morning for worship. We have gathered to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. We are here to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we ask our Father that as your word is preached this morning, our ears, our minds, our hearts might be open to what you would say to us. May the preaching of your word be blessed in our midst. May it be blessed throughout the congregations of our federation. May it be blessed wherever its truth is proclaimed. May ears hear and hearts be gathered to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that you will bless the mission of the church to the world. We remember Brother Ryan DeYoung in Papua New Guinea and the ministry you've given to him. May your spirit be at work today in that land. Throughout all the ministries of our churches and wherever your word is opened up, may Christ be proclaimed and hearts drawn near to him. Hear us for his name's sake. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 5. And I'll read the first 20 verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be imitators of God. Therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things the wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of life consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, for it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Live not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Heidelberg Catechism begins with its question about our only comfort in life and in death. In the Catechism's own words, my only comfort is that I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with his precious blood has fully satisfied for all my sins, and delivered me from the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head. Yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation, wherefore by his Holy Spirit he also assures me of eternal life, makes me heartily willing and ready henceforth to live for him. Assuming that we have all digested that statement and are familiar with what it says, and that we want to live in this comfort, the Catechism goes on to inquire how many things are necessary for you to know that you in this comfort may live and die happily. What do we need to know to live and die in this comfort? When I declare that my sermon title this morning is What We Need to Know, it's in view of our desire to possess this comfort of which the Catechism speaks. There are no doubt other things in life that we need to know. We do well to know how to make a living. We do well to know how to communicate with other people. We do well to know how to make simple calculations in arithmetic. But our concern today is what we need to know to live and to die happily in this comfort. And the Catechism's answer to this question has three parts. One, how great my sins and misery are. We need to know that. Two, how I'm delivered from my sins and misery. We need to know that too. And three, how I am to be thankful to God for his grace and goodness. Interestingly enough, my text in Ephesians 5, verse 8, touches on all three of these things that we need to know. It says, you were once darkness. Well, there's the sin and misery of which we need to know. It says, but you are light in the Lord. And there's the deliverance of which we need to know. And finally, it says, walk as children of light. And there's how we're to demonstrate our gratitude to God for all his goodness to us. It's all right here. So let's give our attention to this text this morning. We begin with how great our sin and misery really are. According to Ephesians 5, verse 8, we were in darkness. You understand what darkness is? Oh, yes, you say, go out when it's nighttime and it's dark out there. That is darkness. But is it really? Moon maybe in the sky, or a scattering of stars. Perhaps there's a light burning in or shining in the window in the house across the road. True, you can't see very well, but you're aware of the shape of trees and buildings. There's enough light out there for you to get your bearings. It's not totally darkness. Perhaps you think it's dark in your room when you wake up in the middle of the night. But as you lie there in your bed, the light from the street light coming in around the edges of the blind over your window, there's a little light there. The numbers on the face of your alarm clock give off light too. And again, if you look around for a moment or so, you get your bearings, you know exactly where you are. It's not totally dark. Darkness is when you go down into a mine. The surface of the earth is left far above. You go through a door and along one of those tunnels deep in the mine. And then the miner who's taking you down there turns the light off. That is dark. You cannot see a thing. If you turned around two or three times, you wouldn't know where to turn. It's totally dark. There's not a ray of light anywhere. You've totally lost your bearings. That is darkness. You might as well be blind, totally. Wouldn't make a bit of difference. Which is another way the Bible refers to our condition. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4 talks about those whose minds the God of this world has blinded. They can't see. They have lost their bearings. They are in darkness too. Notice that the text does not say you were in the dark. It says you were once darkness. You were identified with the darkness itself. You were part of the company and forces of darkness. You were under the rule of the prince of darkness. You were darkness. Darkness is the emblem of ignorance. The ignorant know nothing, really. They're ignorant of God. Back in Ephesians 4, verse 18, we read of those who, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Those in darkness are cut off from him. They don't know him. They're ignorant of him. They don't seek to believe in him. And you look around in our society and you'll find people all over the place ignorant of God today. They can't tell you the first thing about him. They don't know him. They're in the dark. And I submit to you that that kind of ignorance is deadly. Furthermore, darkness is also the emblem of depravity. Continue reading in Ephesians 4, verse 18. Those alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them are also described as being hard of heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. You see, this ignorance and godlessness leads to iniquity of all manner of evil and sin. And I don't want to weary you this morning with a long catalog of the kind of evil that's in the world today and in the hearts of the unbeliever. But I do say, with Scripture, the condition is desperate. Those so described are condemned by God and headed for destruction in hell. That, simply put, is the condition of the unbeliever. That is how great our sin and misery are. You may not have fully lived out this condition. The expectations and restraints of a civilized society hold us back from being as bad as we possibly could be. But that doesn't change the desperate condition of our hearts. As long as we're estranged from God, we are darkness. Have you taken time to notice your participation in darkness? As sinners, this is the way we start out in life. This is the way the Ephesians started out. You were once darkness. And if you were paying attention as I read the form, it refers to our children likewise, starting out in darkness. And it's an unsettling experience to find yourself in total darkness. And we don't know God. We don't know how to live. We're lost. And we'll never turn to God for comfort until we realize we're part of the darkness. That's the bad news we have to accept. Would that God would let us all grasp something of how desperate and hopeless the darkness with which we enter the world really is. And the Catechism is right on when it tells us it's necessary to know how great our sin and misery really are. But just knowing the darkness doesn't get us anywhere. We must also know something about the light. We must know how I'm delivered from all my sins and misery. And Ephesians 5:8 tells us, you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Something altogether radical has taken place. These people were changed from darkness to light. And it's difficult to think of anything more radical than that. Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones used to call it the profoundest change in all the world. And it certainly is. How did this great change take place? Well, look at the statement in Ephesians 5, verse 8. But now you are light in the Lord. This life-changing transformation is something that happens in the Lord. It happened in the Lord then, and it still happens in the Lord today. The Lord had come into their lives. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus came to bring the light of God into our darkened world and into our darkened hearts. As he lived among us, the light of God was shining through his life and through his teaching. Light is emblematic of righteousness and truth. Jesus spoke the truth, and in his life he fulfilled all righteousness. And then the most profound of mysteries took place. Jesus, the righteous one, was executed as the worst of criminals. Of course, it never should have happened and never would have happened were it not for one thing. He was taking our sin and misery upon himself. And having become our substitute, he died a sacrifice in our place. And now we can be forgiven. Now our sins can be washed away. For Jesus not only died, he rose again, and having ascended into heaven, sent forth his Spirit into the world to transform the hearts of those who had lived in darkness. By looking to faith in the Lord Jesus, we're transformed. To use the expression Jesus used, we're born again. It's that transformation that changes us from darkness to light. This is the work of Jesus and of his Spirit. We are light in the Lord. This is God's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. But what does that leave for us to do? Do we simply find a comfortable chair and wait for God to do something in us? Far from it. God approaches us by his Holy Spirit through the Bible and makes its truth speak to us. He makes it known to us. God approaches us, opens our minds and hearts to the truth of his word. And we begin to give it our attention. He tells us about Jesus and commands us to repent and turn from our sins, leave them behind us, and to come in faith to Jesus and follow him. Learn of him. He calls us to start walking in the light as he makes it known to us. And when we respond to the gospel in repentance and faith, we discover that God's already at work in us, changing us from darkness to life, delivering us from all our sins and misery. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Has it happened to you? And I'm very concerned about how it took place. It may have been a long, drawn-out process of which you really weren't aware of most of the time. Or it may have happened very quickly, and you can point to the exact day on the calendar and say, this is when I was changed from darkness to life. How it happened isn't important. What I want to know, have you been changed from darkness to light? Are you looking in faith to the Lord Jesus today? Are you striving to get rid of any remaining sin in your heart and life? Are you light? Search your heart and don't be satisfied until you are sure you are now light in the Lord. Now then, we're ready to know something about how we can show our thankfulness to God. Ephesians 5, verse 8 again, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. There's how to demonstrate your gratitude to God for your deliverance from darkness. Walk as children of the light. You're now light. Very well then, walk accordingly. As Jesus put it in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men. As a preschooler in Sunday school, they taught me to sing, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And it is that simple, really. Child can understand. Walk in the light. Walk the way the light of Scripture directs you. Walk, of course, in Ephesians 5:8 is not primarily how you move from place to place or go for an afternoon stroll. Walk refers to your daily behavior, to your whole way of living. Let it radiate the light of God's truth. Let it demonstrate to a watching world that God has touched your life and you're walking His way. Let your life be a walking witness of the commandments of the Bible. This is what verse 10 calls what is acceptable to the Lord. You know the commandments. We read them every Lord's Day here in the church. Live by them. And don't forget the emphasis Jesus placed on being loving, merciful, gentle, meek. In a word, seek to live like Jesus. Seek to be like Him. It will take us a lifetime to be more like Jesus, and even then we'll fall short. But this text is calling us to make the effort. It's how to show God that we're grateful for all He's done for us, and in particular, delivering us from darkness to light. Walk as children in the light, and the text goes on, for the fruit of light is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Righteousness, truth, goodness. There's the fruit of the Spirit. And when the Spirit transforms our hearts, He remains within us to give us the strength and will to do the will of God. Temptations will still come our way. The devil will make every effort to trip you up. But in the strength of God's Spirit, we can start overcoming and being light bearers, radiating a testimony to the Lord Jesus. This really ought to be the consuming passion of the Lord's people. Let your light shine. Keep the commandments in gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord for delivering you from darkness. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What do we need to know to live and die happily in our only comfort? We need to know how great our sin and misery are. We need to know how to be delivered from all our sins and miseries in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to express our gratitude to the Lord constantly by the way we live in the light. Well, I've tried to fill this out a little bit this morning. The whole catechism, of course, is a fuller answer. And I trust you have spent time with it. And I trust you've caught at least enough truth to get started and to get going. For you were once darkness, but now you're children of light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Amen. We'll sing Psalm 54, verses 1 and 3. We continue worshiping the Lord as we present to Him our offerings.